Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Philippians. I don't know tonight if it's just me, but I do sense a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I'm thankful for it. For he, the Holy Spirit, I'm glad he's welcome here. We know that we can't do anything without him, and we need him. Amen. We need his presence. We don't want to be one of those churches, you know, that where he's standing on the outside knocking, trying to get in. We want him in our midst, don't we? We look at Philippians chapter 2, and I told a preacher last week, I asked him what he preached. He was in revival on, it was Brother Castle on Wednesday night. And I said, "What'd you preach, brother?" And he told me, he said, "What'd you preach?" I said, "I'm in Philippians chapter 2. He said, "Are you still in Philippians?" I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Matter of fact, we're kind of early in it. Amen. We're in chapter 2. He said, "I can't believe that." I said, "I can't either. That's the way it is. Amen. We looked down through the chapter. I'll begin reading tonight in verse number 9. The Bible said, "Wherefore God," I guess when you use that word "wherefore," that you ought to back up at least a verse. "And being found in fashion as a man, he," this is talking about Jesus, "humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also," in other words, that wasn't the end of it. There's an "also" there. "God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Have you ever heard that old saying, "He said a mouthful"? I tell you, Paul said a mouthful right there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. Father, I need your help. Help me to magnify the Word of God tonight and the Son of God tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would just meet with us. Lord, peradventure there's someone here that don't know you. I pray you'd stir in their heart. Lord, put a longing in their heart to know you. Lord, put a longing in our heart to serve you. Put a longing in our heart to know you better. Lord, Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, even the death of the cross. Lord, thank you tonight for your precious people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We look down through here at in these first verses at an exhortation, how that Paul, I think I called it, I don't have those notes in front of me, a warm exhortation, how that Paul is exhorting the church at Philippi, and thereby exhorting anybody that's born again to walk with the Lord, to walk in love, to walk in unity. And then in chapter 2, verse 5, down through verse number 8, we looked at a wonderful example. You know, Paul exhorts us, and then he gives us the example. And the example is Christ. I tell you tonight, we could try to follow one another's example and never have a perfect example to follow. But when we follow him, we're following a perfect example tonight. And I appreciate so very much the example the Lord has set forth in verse number 5, 6, 7, and 8. I'm not going to say a lot about that because I really want to go on. I'm hoping that God will help me to get to a verse of scripture over in the book of the Revelation. I saw something as I looked at this and studied this that I just did not realize. I know it was there all the time. God's word is not going to be added to. It's not going to be taken away from. But aren't you glad it's a living book? Aren't you glad that he can speak to your heart today and tomorrow and the day after that out of the same verse of scripture? Amen. That's the word of God that lives and abides forever. He said here in verse number 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." This order may not make a whole lot of sense, but I'm just going to give it to you like the Lord gave it to me. I was looking here and talking about this exhortation. Later on, I'm going to bring to your attention the order that it takes place. First, our Lord humbled himself, and then he was exalted. Now, if he is our example, then for you and I to be exalted, and thank God I've done read it in the Bible, his youngins are going to be exalted one day. We might be stepped on today, but there's coming a day down there at the school where our teenagers go. They may be poked fun at, made fun of today, but the day's coming. I'll tell you right now, the day's coming when we're going to see who's on the winning side. I already know who's on the winning side. I've already read it in the Bible. Now, he said, God hath also highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. I want you to think about some things. Think about Acts chapter 3. If you want to turn there, you can. But I'm going to go through some verses. I was telling my daughter, Amanda, today that I like to print the scripture out because it seems like I can get more covered. You know what I mean? And sometimes I guess the best thing for you to do is just make a note of the scripture and go back and read it later. Amen. Brother Gary, I'm not saying this to embarrass him. I think it ought to help him. But he always tells me, he says, I always go the next morning and review and go over it again. He said, I found out I missed something while I was sitting there, probably because your pastor's going too fast. Amen. But he goes back and reviews and goes over, and I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's good. The Bible said in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 6, then Peter said, you remember when there was the lame man, he was sitting outside the temple, he was begging for alms. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And then he said this, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So I'm going to give you a few passages of scripture that just lets you know about the power that's in his name. Before I was ever saved, I've said this in your hearing before. Before I was ever saved, I knew there was something about that name, the name of Jesus. How many can testify to that? Before you ever knew him as your Savior, you knew when you heard the name of Jesus, there was something about that name. And there we see this man healed. He's able to rise up and walk. Peter said, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but I do have Jesus. I tell you, that's the way we as believers ought to live today. Amen. We do have, there might be a lot that we don't have, but oh, hallelujah. If you just concentrate on what you do have, if you have Jesus, amen. One old preacher was preaching. He said, when you leave here, he said, please shake my hand. He said, then go tell everybody that you shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. I like that, don't you? Amen. We might not have a lot of this world's goods. Most of us got more than we need, amen. But God has been good. Now listen to Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked. Now they're going to question Peter. They want to know, James and Peter, this miracle's being brought into question now. And here's their question. They said, by what power or by what name have you done this? You know, I don't have scripture for this, but I've just got an idea. They just crucified him. I got an idea that, my friend, they pretty well know the name that's going around town. Amen. I don't think they did it in a corner. They didn't do it in a closet. Amen. They didn't hide it. And they said, by what power or by what name have you done this? And I love this. Then Peter, here's what we need. Filled with the Holy Ghost, he said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. I tell you, Peter, he got them swords wielding. I'm going to stick you with this one. I'm going to stick you with this one. Here's his name. You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. Amen. Now watch this. Watch this. He said, be it known unto you all, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. I tell you, in that day, they took that stone, amen, that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and they set it aside. But I tell you, God picked that stone up and put it in the very corner, made it the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus himself being the foundation. Then he said this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other, get this now, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, there are people in the world today, and I think a couple of names come to my mind. I'm not going to say them, but I feel sure that, you know, that what goes on in a lot of the school systems, they try to marry truth with error. How many knows what I just said? Amen. They'll say, well, yeah, God's the creator, but evolution's how he did it. Help me. You can't marry truth with error. I mean, either we're created in the image of God, or some blob washed up on the shore and grew some legs and all that stuff and a hairy tail. And one day, you know, he began to walk and he was an ape and then he became a man. That's just not true. Apes have apes. And human beings have human beings. And cats produce cats and dogs produce dogs. Amen. Nothing's ever changed in the order of God. You cannot marry truth and error. And the Bible said here, there's none other name. See, they'll get you in there and they'll try to get you convinced that, you know, Christianity's one of the ways. Christ is one of the ways. But he's one of many ways. Somebody may be sitting in this auditorium and saying, preacher, you're just one of them old fogies. I'll die an old fogey. I'll die in this book by the grace of God. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus is his name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Isn't it sad that in a lot of circles, the only time you hear his name is in vain? That's sad. I tell you, we ought to be saying his name and not saying it in vain. We ought to be lifting him up. The Bible said in Matthew 12 and verse 21, and in his name, I about shouted. Look at this little verse. Not very long at all. Matthew, I think I said 12:21, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Long time before it ever happened. Amen. God pinned it down in Matthew. He said, them dogs are on their way. The Gentiles are going to get in on this too. It's not just for the Jew, but God's going to open the door. And I'm going to read some scripture about that in a minute. I'm talking about a name that's above every name. I'm looking at the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, going right into that, you know, that's where the transition in the book of Acts takes place from the Jew. You see, the Jew rejected God the Father. They come along, Jesus come along and was born, and they rejected God the Son. And now in the book of Acts, I'm talking about nationally, not individually. Individual Jews were saved. There were 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Amen. But as a nation, remember he said that this is the stone which the builders have set at naught. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, the religious hierarchy of that day would have nothing to do with him. And so they've rejected now nationally God the Holy Spirit in the early part of the book of Acts. And so God turns to the Gentile. And Acts chapter number 10 is that hinge. It is that door where the Lord... See, the Bible said in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, the Jew. His own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, here we go again. Even to them that believe on his name. There is something about that name. And so here in Acts chapter 10, Peter's talking. He says, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He says his name. With the Holy Ghost and with power. By the way, you can't separate them two. There'll be no power apart from the Holy Ghost. Amen. You cannot separate them. The Bible said, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew
Every time Peter gets an opportunity, he said, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, he said, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after that he arose from the dead. That scripture lines up with 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was seen of Cephas and then of the 12 and then of above 500 brethren at once. Amen. There were people that saw the risen Christ. By the way, to be an apostle, that was one of the things you had to do, was see the risen Christ. Now watch this. The Bible said here, he anointed him. The Bible said here, he showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses before chosen of God. And in verse 42, he said, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness. Now here's a little phrase, that through his name. No wonder God said, I've given him a name that's above every name. Through his name. And I want to say this, only through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, while he was still talking, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. And they came to Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you something tonight. If you ever get to thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, you ought to just find the neighborhood dog and sit down alongside of it. Amen. And thank God that he turned from his own people, the apple of his eye, and turned to the Gentile and give us an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. Oh, beloved friend, tonight he's given him a name that's above every name. What about this? Matthew 18, chapter 20. Excuse me, chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together. There are a lot of people that misquote that scripture. There are a lot of people that say where two or three are gathered in his name. It says where two or three are gathered together in his name. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. You say, preacher, what are you trying to magnify there? Well, he's given him a name which is above every name. And you can't even have a decent service without Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can't even have a decent service without Jesus. One of the things that's going on in our church world today, I'm talking about quote unquote church and what they call Christendom. Not everything that names the name of Christ is saved. Amen. Jesus said, in that day, many are going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not done marvelous works, cast out devils, prophesied in thy name? Now, I'm not here to make anybody mad tonight, but those people in the cults do not show up on your doorstep. Listen to me carefully. They do not show up on your doorstep and just say, we're here to proclaim another name. They don't do that. Uh-uh. They know you're too smart for that. Amen. They'll drop the name of Jesus here, drop the name of Jesus there. They'll even drop King James Version on you. But listen, you'll find out if you study with them a little while. I hope you don't, because the Bible said not to bid them Godspeed and don't let them in your house. That's what the Bible said. But if you study with that outfit or study about that outfit a little while, you'll find out that their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is the Son of the living God. The Jesus of the Bible is not a brother to the devil. The Jesus of the Bible is the Creator. He is not the created being that so many have tried to make him. They'll say, well, he's the spitting image of the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and my Father are one. You say, preacher, can you explain all that? Don't have to. I can't explain electricity, but it don't keep me from flipping the lights on. I can't even fully explain what's going on under the hood of that car out there. There was a time when I knew a little bit about it. Points, condenser, rotor button. Amen, Sister Helen. Get under there now and try to fix something. Amen. You need a degree about that long and a computer to even know what it's doing under there. Amen. But listen, God knows there's something about that name. And he said he was going to exalt that name, a name given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name. The Bible said, I've already covered that scripture. He came unto his own, even to them that believe on his name. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask, you say, preacher, what's so big about that name? We can't even pray without that name. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. How many knows that when we pray, we come down, you know, some people say at the beginning of their prayer, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Some people say it at the end of the prayer. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Some people say we ask this in the name that's above every name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. You see, without Jesus, we don't have access into the holiest of all. Thank God. Thank God. When he died on that cross, the veil in that temple was rent in twain. And we have access to the Lord. Listen to 1 John chapter 5. These verses, I tell you, they bless my heart. These things, this is a verse we've always used. I think it's a wonderful verse, especially in assurance. Brother Ralph, he led us in a blessed assurance. The Bible said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, not will have, not used to have. Thought about Brother Brian's Sunday school lesson a little while back on the is. He is. Know that you have right now eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I've never tied these two verses together. But look at it. It goes out of verse 13 right into verse 14 and says, this is the confidence that we have in him. And we know we have ask anything according to his will. We know that he heareth us. Hallelujah. What a name. I like that song, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus, reaching higher far than the brightest star. Here a little while back, it was cold one night and crisp, and I went out there. Just every once in a while, the Lord reminds me that he's still knocking holes in the darkness. Man, it was cold. That moon was shining. Those stars just seemed like you could reach up and pick one out of the sky. What a Savior we have tonight. What a Savior. The Bible said in John 17 and 1, we're looking now how God's going to exalt him. The Bible said these words spake Jesus. He's praying in John 17. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I was preaching a little while back. You remember, I can't remember if it's Wednesday, Sunday. It all runs together. Somebody asked one preacher, said, what's the best message you've ever preached? I like his answer. He said, the next one. That's the one I'm thinking about. The next one. Not that one back yonder. But anyway, you remember me talking about the joy that was set before him, how that he was... We believe he was looking forward to sitting back down at the right hand of God the Father. Right here, he's praying for that. He said, I want you to glorify me with the glory which I had before the world began. That's where he was sitting, right there at the right hand of God the Father. What a blessing. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being, here we go, by the right hand of God exalted. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Listen to Ephesians 1:19 tonight. I'm going to bring it to a close. I thought surely I could get through three verses tonight, but I'm going to bring it to a close. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Listen to verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Listen to this. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When I was a teenager, I got into some things that I didn't have any business getting into. But I really believe if it hadn't been for a dad, that I don't want to call it a leash, but it would kind of serve like a leash. You could go so far, but when you got to the end there, you knew there was something pulling you back. My dad wasn't in church at the time. My mom wasn't in church at the time. I can remember when I was a child experiencing earaches. They didn't know what it was then to put tubes in children's ears. And I experienced them until I had my tonsils taken out. I can remember my mom coming into the bedroom, and sitting down beside the bed in a chair. And don't you call me this, but she said, "Ricky, honey, Brother Ralph's already got it on his mind. I'm going to throw something at him." She said, "Ricky, honey," she said, "Jesus ain't hearing Mama right now. But she said, if you'll talk to him, he'll hear you." About 5 or 6 years old, Mom knew she wasn't where she needed to be with the Lord. You know what's sad? We live in a generation that thinks people can live just any way and the Lord will still hear them. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen. I can remember Dad. He said, "Son, we don't have much." He said, "Unless something happens, we probably never will have much." How many of y'all come up poor? Did anybody besides me? There's a bunch of us here that come up poor. I've told this story, and I think it would be good for the teens to hear it, and I'll get back to that. Somebody remember where I'm at right there so I can get back to it. Okay? But it's about Dad and the name, isn't it? Okay? But where I grew up, how many of you teenagers have ever heard somebody say this? "Were you raised in a barn?" How many's ever heard somebody say that? Most of the time they say that when you leave the door open. You know, they'll say, "Were you raised in a barn?" I've told my youngins, "We're not heating Hawkins County." You know, they leave a door standing wide open. Brother Rick, they don't do that in Johnson City, do they? They don't leave a door open to the 10 degrees outside. But anyway, my dad actually fixed up what was a barn, and we lived in it. When I was a kid, I went to visit. Some of the kids in my class had swimming pools in their backyard. And I was invited to their homes for birthday parties and things like that. But I never invited anybody to my home. I thought people would make fun of me. They would laugh at where I lived. How many knows this preacher wishes he had that to do over again? I'd have brought every kid in class and showed them what my daddy did so we could have a roof over our head. My dad was good to us. He loved us. We were brought up poor. I was a teenager. Dad said to me, he said, son, we don't have much, and we may never have much. He said, but son, we do have a good name. He said, son, please, take care of our name. I want to say to the church tonight, aren't you glad we have a good name? I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed here. I'm not ashamed at home. I'm not ashamed at the gas station or the Walmart. Amen. We don't need to be ashamed. And we don't need to drag his name through the mud. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come tonight. Giving him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, we'll get into this maybe next Wednesday, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I appreciate our visitors being here tonight. I'm still trying to learn names, but thank you all for coming. I mean that. Amen. Pray for me, will you? I appreciate that. And we appreciate you coming tonight. Not often you have visitors on Wednesday night, but we thank God that they're here tonight. Good to have Mark and his family visiting with us tonight. Amen. I'm just kidding. Brother Mark and them joined the church here a while back. I heard a joke years ago. This church was having trouble with bats. And a preacher called this preacher and he said, I know how you can get rid of them bats. He said, how's that? He said, let them join the church and baptize them. You'll never see them again. Brother Mark, that's a joke. Amen. Amen. It seems it's that way sometimes. I'm glad for folk that are faithful, aren't you? I really am. Thank you for coming tonight.